All right, go ahead and turn in your Bibles over to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. This morning in the message, I mentioned salty Christians and that the Bible commands us to be salt and light. Now, we're going to talk about salt and light tonight and what that means as a Christian to be salt and light. So we're going to look at some properties of both salt and light. And again, I got my notes out here, so I'm not over here scrolling Instagram or anything like that. I'm looking at my notes here because I want to be able to read them. So I didn't write them down because I wouldn't be able to read my own handwriting. So Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to read verses 13 through 16. Matthew 5, verses 13 through 16. It says, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Let's pray together. Dear Jesus, I pray that you'd be with me as I speak. Help me to be able to communicate the message that you've laid on my heart. I pray, Lord, that you would help us as we look into this scripture for a brief few moments. And I pray that you would help us to understand what it means to be salt and light in our communities. In Jesus' name, amen. Much has been said about how we are to be salt and light in this world. So what does that really mean? What does salt do? What does light do? And why should we in the Christian life be compared to that? We think about salt. We'll talk about salt first. Salt's important. You ever play the game Trivial Pursuit? It's a great game. There is a pizza restaurant in Lee Summit where we live that on every table has a little box of Trivial Pursuit cards. And as you have lunch or dinner or whatever you're eating, the idea is that these cards are conversation starters and kind of keeps people engaged in conversation. And it's a lot of fun. My family and I, we love going there every once in a while. And they have a lunch buffet. And we'll sit there and eat lunch. And Jackie will read through these cards. Well, the other day, one of the questions, we hadn't been there in a while. So we went there last Saturday when Lauren happened to be in town. And we were reading through the cards, and one of the cards, the question was, it was a science question, said, "What is the most commonly used spice in the world?" Salt, right? That's a pretty obvious answer. Well, what is it about salt that makes it so common? When you think about what salt does, salt... you know, it's got several properties that we can adopt in the Christian life. Things that we can do and think about. But when you think about what a spice does in general, or what a flavor does to food, it makes it taste better. Amen. Most of the time. There are a few flavors that I'm not super crazy about. And everybody probably has certain flavors they're not crazy about. Like for example, I don't like horseradish. Some of you are probably looking at me like, "You are weird. You don't like horseradish?" No, don't care for horseradish. Anybody else like me doesn't like horseradish? Yeah, anybody like horseradish? I remember one time down in Pensacola, long time ago when we were in college, Jackie's parents came down and they were at a Chinese restaurant, and there was this bowl on the table of this Chinese mustard that was, okay, I'll call it laced with horseradish. And he got a big old scoop of that and put it on a bite of food and just put it in his mouth. And let me tell you something, if it were possible for smoke to be coming out of somebody's ears, he would have had smoke coming out of his ears. Now, I wasn't at that particular meal, but boy, I sure wish I had been. I had a class or something. I didn't get to go out to lunch with him that day. But that is a legendary story in the Bach household of the time he got a little too much of that hot mustard, horseradishy mustard. I don't care for horseradish. Another flavor that I don't really particularly care for, and you're probably going to think this is strange, but I don't care for bell peppers. Doesn't matter what color it is, red, green, yellow, I don't like them. Now, I grew up in Mexico. We were talking about that earlier. So I like peppers of all kinds, but you know, they don't eat bell peppers in Mexico. They're not hot enough, right? So they just don't eat bell peppers down there. So that's not a flavor I ever really grew up with. And my dad was allergic to them, so Mom never cooked with bell peppers. So I just don't particularly care for them. Now, if this story gets back to Jackie, I'm going to come and knock on your door. But I'm going to tell you a story that happened the other day. I was working from home. It was one of those a rare week that I wasn't traveling. And so Jackie said, "You want some lunch?" And I said, "Oh, well, yeah, I'll take some lunch." And so she said, "Hey, I got to run to the grocery store anyway, get a few things. I'm going to get some vegetables and make a nice, healthy lunch." I said, "That sounds fantastic." So she came home, and I'm working away, and she gets in the kitchen. She's chopping up some vegetables, and she likes making these sheet pan meals where she chops up different kinds of vegetables and then puts some kind of meat in there and sticks it all in the oven with some olive oil and salt and a few other things, and then cooks it, and then we just eat it. You know, it's really good most of the time. She was telling me after she brought me the food and I started eating, I thought, "Oh, I'm not going to tell her this, but something's a little off with this meal." And she said, "Oh, by the way, I bought a yellow pepper and I put some yellow pepper in there just because it needed some color and to give it a little color because there was, you know, some zucchini and a few things." And she said it just needed a little something extra for color. I'm like, could have done without the bell pepper. Because all I could taste was bell pepper. I mean, it was good, but all I could taste, every bite I took, even if it wasn't a bell pepper, I could taste it. Well, that's what seasoning's supposed to do. When you season something or an ingredient in something, it's supposed to enhance every aspect of the meal. Right? So you put a little salt on a steak. The steak already has good flavor if it's cooked right, right? The salt brings out the flavor just a little bit more of what's in that steak. It makes the steak taste better, but it just enhances the flavor of the steak that's already there. You know, in the Christian life, we should be like salt that enhances our relationships with other people. We should be like salt where it helps bring to the front righteousness in life. Not in a legalistic or beat you over the head kind of a way. We talked about that this morning. Sometimes we can get a little too salty, right? You put too much salt on something and that's all you taste is the salt and it's a little offensive, right? But salt can enhance flavor in food, just like being salt in the Christian life enhances what we do. So let's talk about other things about salt. What else does salt do? Salt cleanses. When if you have a cut and you're on the backside of the mountain somewhere because you bought that Hummer and went going up Mount Kilimanjaro and had a wreck, right? If you have some salt, you could put salt in a wound. Now, it hurts, but it cleanses. How many in here cook with an iron skillet? You ever use an iron skillet? I love cooking on iron skillet. I love cooking. I love food. That's why I've had to lose a bunch of weight because I like it a little too much. But I love cooking in an iron skillet, but you can't just wash an iron skillet like any other dish, right? You can't just get out the Dawn dish soap and just go scrubbing away on the iron skillet because you'll ruin it, right? It'll strip off the good stuff and leave it exposed to the air and it can rust, right? So you got to be careful how you wash an iron skillet. But if you get something really crusted into that iron skillet, Like you leave your meat in there just a little too much, or it gets a little too hot, and just you get stuff in there. Do you know you can use salt? And just use salt and scrub that iron skillet, and it just comes right off. Just with salt, regular old table salt. Salt cleanses. Salt has a grittiness to it. Like in this instance, it has a grittiness to it, but it also helps penetrate the bad stuff and helps release it. Salt's good. Think about in the wintertime. What do we throw on the road to melt the ice? We throw salt on the road. Now they're starting to use other things too, like beet juice and things like that. But salt helps with cleansing our roads in the wintertime. Salt cleanses. What's another thing that salt does? Salt heals. We talked about how you could put salt in a wound if you get really desperate, it can help with that. But also think about like when you get a sore throat, what do? You gargle with salt water, right? And it helps break up whatever you got going on back there. I don't know what, I'm not an ENT, I don't know what you'd call that. But whatever it is that's going on in the back of your throat, you gargle with salt water and it helps clear it up. Salt heals. Salt flavors, we talked about that. It's the number one spice in the world. Salt can be painful. We talked about that too. A little too much salt can be very painful. So if you let's say you have a sore throat and you drink some hot tea to help with your sore throat, and it's a little too hot and you burn your mouth, and then you decide to gargle with salt water, it might help your throat, but it's going to hurt your mouth, right? If you have a burnt inside your mouth, salt can be painful, although sometimes a little bit of pain is not necessarily a bad thing, because it means it's cleansing and it's healing. Salt is also a neutralizer. When you get too much acid, salt can be used to help neutralize acid. So here's a pro tip. We talked about the fact that I grew up in Mexico and I like hot peppers. If you ever get too much hot pepper and your mouth is just absolutely on fire, you know, you can take some salt, just pour a little salt on your hands, just lick it, and it helps neutralize the heat. It doesn't take it completely away immediately, but it helps knock off the pain. Salt is a very powerful, powerful thing. So as Christians, what does it mean to be salt in our communities? When we talked about flavor earlier, how that we should be like salt in our communities, and we should be the ones to help bring to the surface what living a victorious Christian life is all about. You know, in this morning's message, we talked about how that we were born condemned. We need a Savior because we were born condemned to a Christless eternity. Us living a life of sharing Christ's love is like putting a little salt on our own lives so that it would enhance our relationships with other people and be able to more easily share the gospel with them. So we're to be salt. Second thing it talks about here in this passage in Matthew chapter 5, it says in verse 14, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." So we talked about salt. Let's talk about light. What does light do? Well, if you think about the very beginning of time, the first thing God created was light and dark. He created light. So it's the first thing he ever created. So it's important, right? Before he created anything else, he created light. So it's important to him. So let's talk about light. What does light do? Light exposes. Okay, it pierces the darkness and helps us see things that are bad and bad for us so that we can more easily avoid them. When I was a kid growing up in Mexico, down in Mexico, just part of everyday life is dealing with bugs. We had lots of bugs. And one of the things I love about where we live here in Missouri is that we have four distinct seasons. And one of my favorite things that happens every year is that first hard freeze. And one of the reasons why I love the first hard freeze is because it kills most of the bugs. Not all of them, but it kills most of the bugs. Let me tell you, I got tired of dealing with bugs. At our house, we had the people that owned the house before us, their son had polio. And one of the things that they advised for parents of kids with polio is to have some kind of a swimming pool or some sort of a something where they could get in the water and they would be able to exercise their legs a little bit in the water. So we had this real small little swimming pool at our house. And when I say small, it was not much bigger than a baptistry, really. I mean, it may be twice the size of a baptistry, but it was small. But in the front of the pool, there was a little hatch where down in the bottom there was a valve where that you could open it up to drain the pool and it would go out into the sewer. Well, it was a hole in the ground and it had this hatch. Well, that drain led right into the sewer. It wasn't a little trap or anything like that. It just went straight out to the sewer. Now, mind you, this is Mexico, so plumbing regulations in Mexico are a little different than we have here. In fact, they just really don't have very many plumbing standards down there. Well, as a result, that little hatch thing, you'd lift it up at any time, and you'd look down there, and it would be just full of cockroaches. I mean, we'd put poison down there, and it'd kill them, and they'd just come back. But one thing that was interesting is as soon as you opened up that hatch, the light would hit, and those things would go scattering everywhere. Light exposes evil, and cockroaches are evil. Let me just tell you. Light exposes evil. And why is that important? Well, because we have a mandate, right, to live a righteous life. Now, we're sinners. We're going to fail. We are going to sin. It's going to happen. And God, it's not that God expects us to, but God anticipates it. And he's there to forgive us when we do. Amen. But when we live a life that is a life filled with light, it's a whole lot easier to have sin and evil exposed. And we can avoid it. And we can shine the light on sin and evil and help others to realize, hey, I should avoid that too. So light exposes. What's another thing that light does? Light shines and is a blessing. Well, duh. It's hard to see without light. God did not give us night vision, did he? Certain animals do. Deer have excellent night vision. In fact, they prefer when it's pitch dark because they can see in the dark. We can't. But light shines and is a blessing. Psalm 119, verse 105. Do you remember what it says? It says, "Thy word is a light unto my feet and a lamp unto my path." God's word is a light that we should rely on because it shines. It's a blessing and it shines and shows us the way we should go. Now, when you look at that Psalm 119, 105, it doesn't say that your word is a light to tell me all the future. It says your word is a light to my feet. You know, sometimes we worry so much about the future, and to some degree that's not a bad thing, okay? We should plan for the future. But sometimes we get so caught up on what should I do, what should I do, what should I do, what should I do, and then we don't do anything. God's word, if you spend time and meditate in God's word and pray, God will give us the light that we need in our life to be able to take the next step. And the next step. Sometimes that's all we need to do is take the next step. And God's word is the light that helps us do that. Now, if we're going to be light in our lives for other people, like Matthew chapter 5 commands us to, what does that mean? It means that we're to be a blessing to other people. We're supposed to let our light shine and be a blessing to other people. Be a blessing to your pastor. You know, when you go out of your way for something small, what you think might be something small, and be a blessing to your pastor, that means so much to him. It really does. Be a blessing to your pastor. He needs it. Be a blessing to your neighbors, the neighbors around Northwood Baptist Church, or the neighbors in your neighborhood. Be a blessing to them. Be a blessing. Light shines and is a blessing. Number three, the third thing about light. Light guides. You know, at nighttime, when you get out and get in the car to go somewhere, what's the first thing you should do? Well, put your seatbelt on, but turn on your lights. Now, most cars nowadays, they'll just come on automatically. But there was a day where, no, you had to manually turn them on and off. If you didn't turn them off, your battery would die. But if you didn't turn them on, you couldn't see. Light guides. Light shows us the way we should go. All up and down the coastlines, all over the world, there's lighthouses. The purpose of a lighthouse is to be able to be a beacon for sailors to know where they needed to go and where they needed to watch out for the rocky shore or shallow water so that they can set a sail or a rudder or an engine directly towards where they needed to be going. Lighthouses are a very important part of maritime life. And the light is a guide for them. And then here's one we don't think about very often, but light heals. Have you ever been shut up at home and haven't been able to be out for much of a reason? Yeah, right? Sometimes you just need to go outside and get a little sunlight. The vitamin D that comes from direct sunlight is so helpful. It can cheer you up. I mean, there's so many benefits to vitamin D, it's not even funny. And you're not going to get all the vitamin D you want just out of your vitamin D milk. You need to get out in the sun once in a while. In Alaska, you know, they spend months in far northern Alaska. They spend months in the darkness. Did you know that there are more suicides and depression in Alaska, in those northern parts of Alaska where the sun doesn't shine for months on end? Well, it's because there's no sunlight. And then in the summertime, there's an overload of it. I was up there a few years ago, and went up there to go fishing with my dad. And we were there in May, which that's getting close to when it's full-on sunlight 24 hours a day. But it was unnerving to be going to bed because it was late at night and the sun's still out. But people in the summertime in Alaska are very happy people. Why? Well, they get a lot of sun. The vitamin D in light, specifically from the sun, is very, very healthy. Let me tell you, be vitamin D to your friends, your family, your coworkers. Be sunlight in their life. Be a ray of sunshine. You know, that's easier for some people than others. My daughter, Lauren, she is the most bubbly ray of sunshine that you'll ever meet. Some of you, maybe all of you know her, but she's just a ball of sunshine everywhere she goes. I love being around that kid. When she comes home for a visit, the house all of a sudden gets exponentially louder because she's there. And the banter with her and our boys is just so much fun to be able to watch and hear. And she's just a ball of sunshine. You know, we need to be that way. I don't mean change your personality. I mean just smile once in a while sometimes. We need to be just like sunshine because light heals. As Christians, our salt and light are to be a blessing to other people. Now, when you think about where this is in in Matthew chapter 5. This is the very beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. And he goes through the first 12 verses, really 11, the first 11 verses of the Beatitudes, and he talks about all of the attitudes that we are to be. That's why it's called the Beatitudes. And it uses the word blessed or blessed. Whenever you see that word in King James English, you know what that word means? It means happy. So let's read through some of these, and it culminates with a command to be salt and light. It says here in Matthew chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." You know, when you look at this, there's a little bit of a paradox that's going on. He says, blessed are the people that are persecuted. How's that possible? It says, blessed are the people that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Now, the comfort's a great thing, but mourning is not fun. And then it goes on, it says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Then it goes on, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And then the last two. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. And then there's a command, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. You know, you read through those things, all of these scenarios in life where that you'll be blessed if you keep your eyes on the Lord. Amen. These aren't necessarily great scenarios. Listen, we don't preach a health and wealth gospel at Northwood Baptist Church. There are churches that say, you know, if you follow God and you do and you live for the Lord, you're going to have all the money you could ever think of having and all the health you could ever. You'll never get sick. If you do get sick, it's because you got sin in your life. Or if, you know, that's the gospel that they preach, is it's health and wealth. No, this is a very realistic view of life. Listen, we live in a sin-racked world. And because of that, we are going to experience some trouble in life. But how can you be happy in spite of that? How can you be blessed in spite of issues? Keep your mind on the Lord. Keep your eyes on Him. And then be, as it says in verse number 12, says, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Keep your eyes on the prize, as Paul puts it in Philippians chapter 3. And keep your eyes on the fact that our ultimate blessing is going to come in eternity. And in the meantime, that we are to be salt and light in the communities around us. So, I trust that's a blessing to you. It was a blessing to me as I studied through it. And I hope I can be this kind of a person that shares the love of Christ with those around me, and is a person that adds flavor to people's lives and adds light and exposes the bad and illuminates the good in light in life around me. So let's have a word of prayer. Dear Jesus, thank you so much for your love to us, and thank you for your commands in Scripture of how, Lord, we can be a blessing to those around us and to be salt and light in our communities, and how that we're to be a blessing and to be blessed by you being such an important part of our lives in spite of any circumstance that we could ever be in, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would just be with us this week. Help us to be salt and light to those around us. In Jesus' name, amen.